Turning over a new leaf. Turning over a new leaf. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. So new year is 2016. A lot of people in this new year will make resolutions. We talked about that last week. If you missed last week's sermon from Romans 12, 1 and 2, it is on our website. You can go to newcitychi.com, and you can listen to that sermon. I encourage you to do that to make sense of these 2 weeks together. As we look at Psalm 121 this morning. So last week we looked at how we have to have our minds renewed. In other words, you can make all the resolutions and goals you want. Those are just decisions you made in order to accomplish something. But if your mind isn't renewed, then you're not going to change. For instance, I told you how I wanted to eat healthy this year. And so I can make a decision to do that. But if my mind isn't changed, then it's not going to work very well. And I was tested this week because this is the week I started. Because my kid isn't eating different. So when she wants milk, ice cream, or milkshakes, or french fries, or chicken nuggets, or whatever it may be, even can be the smallest thing like peanut butter and jelly. Man, peanut butter and jelly never sounded so good to me. After I ate chicken salad all week, peanut butter and jelly looked so good and delicious. I couldn't wait to taste the sweetness of that peanut butter because my diet has no sugar, it has no bread, it has no milk. It's horrible. And yet it's good because I feel better, right? And I'm feeling good. But if I didn't have my mind made up I was going to do this, and if I didn't have people in my home helping me to do this, then I would be cheating all the time. I even went and got Stan's donuts for the cobbles. And I walked in there, and the smell of the donuts, they hit you. They hit you hard. And those are some of the best donuts in the city, maybe some of the best donuts around. And I walk in there, and I can just smell them, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, no one would know. I could just have one glazed donut. It's not going to make a big difference. It's just one donut. The rest of my meals have been fine. I can just have this one donut. But my mind had been renewed. It had been changed. My mind is being renewed, being changed about the way I'm eating. So those things don't sound as good to me. They still sound as good. They still smell as good, but I know they're not as good. I know it, right? It's not based on how I feel in the emotion of the moment because I was emotional about that donut. I cried over that donut. I wanted that donut. It wasn't about the situation I was in. It's about what I knew. And in order for us to be who God wants us to be, to understand his perfect will for our lives, we talked about last week, we must have our mind renewed. And therefore, then comes transformation. That's the good news of the kingdom. We cannot fix ourselves. That's just behavior modification. We can change ourselves maybe for a little bit by being disciplined, but we're not changed unless the good news of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, comes into us, renews our mind, and then comes transformation of our soul and of our lives. And this week, a new year, a lot of us are coming out of a tough year. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm assuming a lot of us, 2015 maybe wasn't the best year we have ever had. Maybe 2015 was a tough year. Maybe 2015 wasn't something that we look back on and think, man, I can't wait to go through that again. But no doubt, many of us will also face tough times this year. Many of us this year in 2016 will also face tough times. We'll struggle. We'll struggle with things. We'll struggle with sin. We'll struggle with family situations. We'll struggle with a job. We'll struggle with finances. We'll struggle with our health. We'll struggle with so many different things. Tough seasons are a guarantee in our fallen world. Amen? We're going to have tough seasons. There's going to be things that happen that are not part of our plans. There's going to be things that happen in this world and then in 2016 that weren't part of an ideal situation. There are going to be things that will happen in 2016 that you were not prepared for. That's why Jesus said, when storms come, not if storms come, but he said, when storms come, make sure your house is built upon the rock. Because if your house is built upon the sand, when the storms come, you'll be washed away. But those who build their house upon the rock will withstand it all. He's not saying if a storm's come. He's saying when the storms come. In other words, Jesus is guaranteeing to us as followers of him in this fallen world that we will face storms and trials. First Peter and Second Peter, that's all he's writing about, is to the church that's going through suffering. Suffering is a part of following Jesus. The 11 of the 12 disciples, the ones that stayed faithful to him, all were persecuted and died, except for John, who was exiled to an island all by himself until he died in captivity. And Judas, we know, betrayed and hung himself. Paul, who gave everything he had for Jesus, went through struggles. He went through seasons of hardships. Anyone who tells you that if you follow Jesus, your life is going to be great, you'll never have one problem again, isn't teaching you the gospel. If they tell you if you follow Jesus, you're going to get rich and win the Powerball tonight, then they're just lying to you. That's not the gospel either. I'll take $700 million if Jesus wants to give it to me. But he didn't guarantee he's going to give me $700 million. He guaranteed something else. He guaranteed something better. He said he was going to be with me. He said, don't worry about the riches of this world. Be rich towards Christ. He said, don't worry about the money in this world. I'm the creator of all things. Remember, the waves and the seas, they obey my name. So don't worry about that. So we're going to face tough seasons. This promise, this is a guarantee that in this fallen world, we're going to have tough seasons where storms are going to come. The question is our foundation in Christ, or is our foundation in this shaky world? Is in the shifting sand of this world? Is our foundation put upon the circumstances and the events of this world and the people in this world, or is our foundation built upon the rock of Christ? In order to turn over a new leaf, which is what we're asking for us to do. Remember, we talked about that being a page is being turned. It's the phrase means that God is going to turn the page and there's a fresh page here. We're not saying, God, this is what I'm going to do in 2016. We're saying, God, what do you want me to be and who do you want me to be and what do you want me to do in 2016? We're letting God write the pages of this book. That's what it means to turn over a leaf. In order to do that, though, and to move past your hurt in 2015, and to move through your struggles in 2016, we have to have a foundation laid. A foundation laid for when one does come this year, when a storm does come, that we look to God, his scriptures, his people, and the very power of Jesus. We must have a foundation laid that when storms come this year, that we look past our hope, past our struggles, into our hope that is found in Jesus Christ and nothing else. So we must have a foundation laid with his scripture, his people, the church, and the power of Christ. So turn with me to Psalm 121. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. We're starting verse 1. It says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills, or lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? So here we have David. He's writing a psalm. Psalm 121. He's writing the psalm. Some think that David is writing the psalm as he's heading to war. Other think that he's just journeying across and hiding. People don't really know exactly, scholars don't really know exactly when and how he's writing or where he's writing this psalm. But it seems to be that the psalm is written, that everyone agrees that the psalm is written for someone who's on a journey. David is definitely on a journey, whether he's hiding from King Saul, whether he's going into war, or he's leading his troops across the desert. David is on a journey. And on this journey, out in the wilderness or in the desert, wherever it may be, it seems like it's probably desert-type conditions, that he is saying, I lift my eyes to the mountains, or I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? In other words, he's in a bad season. He's either lonely, he's either discouraged, he's hungry, tired, sleepy, he's tired of the journey. The journey's beating him down, he's wearing him down. He's saying, where is my help going to come from? I look to the hills, I look to the mountains, I lift them up to there. Is that where my help comes from? And then he makes a declaration. He says, no, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. And more than likely, maybe he was thinking the mountains represented where they built the temple. Maybe that represents the presence of God. But he's saying, I must lift my eyes even beyond the mountains, beyond the hills, because my help does not come from the mountains, which was a very common thought, that if you went to the mountains, it's the safest place. It was the best place to be, is a sign of strength and power and formation, that would be where your help would come from. But no, it's not going to look to the mountains. It's going to look beyond the mountains, because where does my help come from? Verse 2 tells us. What does verse 2 say? It says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is such good news. You know why this is good news? Because our help doesn't come from anything created. Our help does not come from anything or anybody created. Our help comes from the Creator. We cannot look to the created, but we must look to our Creator. We cannot look to the mountains. We must look to the one who made the mountains. We cannot look to the hills for our help. We must look for the one who made the hills, who created the hills, who spoke the hills into existence. But yet so often in our lives, when we go through seasons of hurt or struggle, or we go through problems in our life or crisis, we look to the created. We look to the things of this earth to temporarily satisfy us or to fix the situation. And David's saying, no, my help doesn't come from those things. My help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the maker of all things. My help comes from the Lord. So we can't look to relationship to help us, no, but we look to the one who loves us perfectly. We can't look to another person to help us through this time. No, we look to the one who loves us perfectly through it all. We can't look to stimulants to ease the pain or circumstances, but to the one who sustains us through those times. We can't look to money, but to the one who owns everything in heaven and earth. We can't look to all these other things that are in this earth. No, we must look to the one who created all those things. Think about it. Why would we go to something? Why would we go to something or someone that is just like us? That's sinful. That is hurt just like us. That is temporary just like us. Everything in this earth is going to pass away. Everything in this earth is going to pass away. That's the promise of Scripture. He says, but his kingdom lasts forever. He says he is eternal, and he's made us to be eternally with him, that we will last eternal. And so for us, we get in these struggles, we get in these storms, and we think the storm is the biggest problem. No, that's not the biggest issue. That's the thing that's just facing us right now in our face. The biggest issue is where we're going to look for help. That's our biggest problem. You see, we think the biggest problem is the thing that's right in front of our face. That's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem, our biggest crisis is, where are we going to turn for help? Are we going to turn to the created, things of this earth? Are we going to turn to the Creator? You see, through it all, we can say it is well, because we understand that even though the storm is here, even though it's surrounding us, even though we're going through crisis or a struggle, we know our help comes from the Lord, and that our Lord is the maker of this. He's the maker of all things, and he is much bigger. That he is much bigger than the situations we face. He's much bigger than the problems we face. And if you want to turn over a new leaf in 2016, then it's imperative that we understand where our help comes from, because you're going to face something in 2016. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and I don't think it is necessarily bad news, but we're all going to have some sort of struggle we face this year. Nothing will go perfect for you this year. I think that is a guarantee. That is a promise. You will stub your toe at least one time, right? Something bad is going to happen to you. You're going to miss the bus when you wanted to catch it, and it's 17 degrees outside. You're gonna have something taken from you that you didn't want taken. You're going to get a parking ticket because they're greedy right now because our city's broke. You're going to get something that's not going to be what you want it to be this year. And in fact, I would say probably it's already happened. I would probably say everyone in this room can say something's already not gone as planned for 2016. So if we want to turn over a new leaf and have God write this page, not only do we need to look to God and I mean offer ourselves, we talked about last week as living sacrifice, we must also look. We must look to God for where our help comes from, because we know that no matter what we face, God is with us. God is on our side. And if God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? God is with us. He is on our side. So we don't look to the hills. We don't look to the mountains. We don't look to circumstances of this world. We look to the maker of heaven and earth. We look to Jesus, who helps us. He is our helper. So the question is this morning, where do you lift your eyes? When struggles come, where do you lift your eyes? What do you lift your eyes to? Who do you lift your eyes to? Our help comes from the Maker. Reading verse 3 says this. It says, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Verse 4 says, Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful picture of who our Maker is. He's saying, not only can you look to the Maker because he's the Maker of all things, the Creator of heaven and earth, we also can look to him because he never sleeps. Listen to this. Everything, or everyone else that you look to besides God sleeps. Everything or everyone else you look to besides God sleeps or slumbers. That means they take a rest. In other words, they're not consistently always there, or they actually sleep. How many of you guys sleep 1 hour a day at least? We sleep. How many of you sleep at least 5 minutes? We sleep. We're sleepful people, right? How many of y'all wish you could get more sleep? Anybody? Anybody with kids? You know what I'm talking about. You wish you could get more sleep. How many of you guys wish you could get better sleep? Just make you feel better, right? Yeah, we need sleep. That's who we are. So when we look to other people as our sole source of help, understand that they actually take breaks. They sleep. They rest. When you look to money, circumstances, things of this world, when you look to stimulus or anything else to ease the pain, the struggle that you're going through, understand that those things slumber. How do we know that? Because they don't stay at a consistent high, do they? They go back down. They rest. They sleep. Money comes and goes, amen, because as soon as you get it, who takes it from you? First, the government, right? It takes a break. It sleeps. Your paycheck isn't every day, is it? It's every 2 weeks. It takes a break. It goes to sleep. Everything in this world is designed to go to sleep except for one thing and one person and one being, and it's God, the Maker of all things, who never sleeps, nor does he slumber. When he rested on the seventh day, it wasn't a sign of God needing to take a break because he created the world. It was a sign to say to us what creation is going to do from the created, that the creation will rest. And the creation should rest. It should rest because we need it in order to be refreshed, in order to be in the will of God. It wasn't because God needed it. He was setting an example for us of what we should do. He rested. He was saying, also, it is well. It is done. What I've done in 6 days, it is well. It is done. It is good. I created it. I can rest. My case is rested. It is finished. See, why would we look to something that sleeps? Why would we look to something that takes breaks? When you're going through a crisis, the last thing you want is someone ignoring it, right? Have you ever gone to somebody with something when you were really struggling and you told them, you know, this is what I'm going through, and they looked at you and they said, man, can I call you back? I'm really busy right now. How does that make you feel? Unwanted? Unappreciative? That you're not loved? That you're not worth their time? Imagine if you're going through the biggest crisis you ever faced and you went to somebody and you said, and it was a good friend, and you said, man, I really need you right now. Can you come over? And they said, well, you know, I can't. I got to work. I got responsibilities. I'll be there in 6 hours. And you needed them right then. You see, that's why we can't lift our eyes to the hills. That's why we can't lift our eyes to the mountains. We must lift our eyes to the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who never sleeps, nor does he slumber. You see, he's always available. 24/7, he's in us. God is here. God is with us. If you want to turn over a new leaf, we have to understand, where does our help come from? Who would we look to? We look to the one, the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who never sleeps, the one who never rests, the one who is always on our side, the one who is always available. We lift our eyes to him. He doesn't take time off. He doesn't slumber. He is always God. He never stops being God. He doesn't take a break from being God. Sometimes I need a break from being daddy. I just need to get away. Sometimes my wife needs a break from being mommy. So I'll watch the kids and she can go get a Starbucks drink or coffee or go walk around the block, just do something to get out of the house for a few minutes. Sometimes I need to go play basketball, just get away. Sometimes I need a break from being a pastor, so I'll go to Texas for 10 days and enjoy my family. And sorry if I didn't answer your phone call, but I was trying to take a break from being a pastor. Sometimes I need that. But see, God doesn't take a break from being God. God doesn't have to take a break from being God because he is God, the all-powerful God. He is supreme. He is true. He is one. He is God. And that's why it's such good news. That's why our help can come from him. That's why we go to him and go to him only. Verse 5 says this. This is beautiful. The Lord watches over you. You see, David shifted from convincing himself that help comes from the Lord to now speaking to Israel, saying, listen, I know my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Now I want you to know that. So the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 6 says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So the first thing is, where does our help come from? We can't look to the Creator, but we must look to our Creator. The second thing is, the Lord watches us. Everyone say, the Lord watches us. Now say it like you mean it. The Lord watches us. That's good news. God, not only does he not rest and slumber, not only is he the one that's the source of our help, he's constantly watching us. That means he's looking out for us. Listen to what it says. It says that the Lord is watching us, that he is looking out for us, that it says and the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, when Jesus, when David is writing the psalm about God, he's also thinking about what God has done in his people's history. Whenever they were coming up out of Egypt, he said he will be their presence for them, a pillar of cloud by what? By day and a what by night, a fire by night. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to be your cloud by day, shield you from the sun as you wander through this hot, hot climate, this hot, hot desert. I will shield you as a cloud by day. My presence will be with you. My presence will be ever with you. You will know it by my cloud that will be with you by day and a pillar of fire by night that will keep you warm, that will protect you at night. And this is what David's remembering, saying the Lord is watching you just like he's always watched you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And probably when he's writing this, he's probably sitting underneath the rock that's providing shade from the hot sun. And the shade at your right hand specifically saying, this is beautiful. He's saying to us that the shade of your right hand in this culture was considered to be their working hand. Your right hand is your working hand. It's the one that you toil with. It's the one that you would work with. It's the one that you would do things with. He's saying that the Lord is not only watching over you when you're facing storms and you're facing crisis, when you're going through something, the Lord is watching over you to the point he's not sleeping, he's not resting, he's providing shade to your hand that you might still work. In other words, he's saying, don't give up, keep moving. You see, a lot of times when crisis hit, we just want to stop and be still and we want to do nothing. And we kind of sulk and we just kind of sit here. And we're looking for everyone else to come. And he's saying, no, listen, I am watching over you. So take hope. Get up. Keep moving forward. Because I am not going to let anything happen to you. I'm protecting you with shade for your hand. I'm protecting you as you move. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, he says, I will not let harm come to you. So keep moving. Keep going. Keep going where I've told you to go. Keep doing what I've instructed you to do. I have you. I am watching over you. So not only is it good news that he never sleeps nor slumbers, not only is it good news that he doesn't rest, it's great news that he's also watching over you. We have someone looking out for us 24/7. Tell me that's not good news. Tell me that's not something that will lift your spirit, that you have a God who is all-powerful, the maker of all things, that never sleeps nor rests, but also looks over you and will not let harm come to you. Verse 7, not only does he watch over us, he keeps us. Verse 7 says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming going both now and forevermore. The Lord watches and the Lord keeps. What does it mean for the Lord to keep us? What does it mean for the Lord not just to watch us, but also for the Lord to keep us? If you look at this, he says the Lord will keep you from all harm. He's not just watching over you and saying, okay, good luck, I'm seeing everything. He's saying, I am with you and I will keep you. In other words, he's saying, that's why you can look to me for help because I will keep you as I watch you. I will keep you from all these things. I will keep you from all harm. I will watch over your life. The Lord will says he will watch over your coming and your going. You notice he's saying that the Lord isn't saying to David to sit still. David is saying, no, I'm going to keep coming and going. I'm not going to stop. Satan wins if I stop. The storm wins if I fear and I stop. That's who won. It beat me if I stop. But no, I says, I trust in the Lord so much that I let go and I trust you because you never sleep, you never slumber, because you are God, the maker of all things. You're watching over me and I know you keep me. I'm going to keep coming and going then. I'm going to keep coming and going out. David was going to keep coming and going to battle. He's going to keep coming and going out on his journey because he knew the Lord was going to keep him. He knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Paul knew it too. It's why Paul kept going. They said, no, Paul, don't go here. No, Paul, don't go there. And he says, no, the Lord keeps me. The Lord keeps me, which is why I know that even if my life is taken from me, they cannot take me because the Lord keeps me. And if they take my life from me, don't worry because I will be with my Savior who took me because he keeps me. And he keeps me in the palm of his hand, and nothing can snatch me out of that because I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I am with him. So to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So I keep coming and going. You see, if we stop and we let fear win, if we let the storms control us, then we've lost. But we must look. We must look to the Maker, the Creator, God of all things, who not only watches us, he keeps us. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, and here it is, both now and forevermore. It's not just for today. It's not just for 2016. It's forevermore. The Lord will watch and keep you, both now and forevermore. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus conquered our sin and he conquered death. And he said, it cannot defeat us. It cannot defeat me. And because it cannot defeat me, it cannot defeat us because I give you that power. I come in you. If you'll just receive me. If you'll just stop looking to this world and everything created to fix yourself and to fix your problems, if you'll just look beyond the hills, if you'll look beyond the mountains to where our help really comes from, it comes from God, the maker of heaven, the maker of earth, the maker of all things, the one who never sleeps, the one who never rests, the one who looks after us, the one who watches over us, and the one who will keep us, sustain us, and take us through all things. That's what we need. That's where our help must come from. So when you face a crisis, or if you are facing a crisis, or if you're just paralyzed because of the storms you've been through in 2015, there is hope. There is help. Help is coming. Help is on the way. In fact, help is here. It's just time to lift your eyes. It's time to look to other things besides the things you've been looking to, besides all the books that you've been reading, besides all the self-help philosophy that's been trying to help you get through these situations. Instead, why don't you just take your eyes and lift them up out of those pages, up out of those circumstances, up out of those people, up out of that relationship, and look to the maker of heaven and to the maker of earth and say, God, I know that I need you. My help comes from you. And watch him lift you up out of that miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. Not on the shift and sand of this world, but set your feet upon the rock of salvation, the rock of himself, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And watch him as the storms just continue. They're not going to stop. He didn't say the storms were going to stop. As they continue to go around you and swirl around you and you feel like life is caving in on you, as you feel all that, you realize, my feet are on a rock. And that rock isn't going anywhere. And that rock can withstand the storm. That rock can withhold the pressure of all the situations. That rock can withhold the wind. And because my feet are on this rock, because Jesus is with me, because he is my anchor, I know I'm not going to sink. So we must look to Jesus for our help. We must look to him to satisfy us. We must look to him to fulfill us. We must look to him to sustain us and to get us through all things. So in 2016, as we turn over a new leaf, as we want God to write our lives for us this year, we want to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit and what God is telling us to do, we don't even want to make too many plans. Our plan is to offer ourselves to God as living sacrifice. And our plan is, as storms hit, as everything comes, that we're going to keep looking to God. That we're going to keep looking to Him because we know that's where our help comes from. We're not going to look to anything else in 2016. We're not going to look to anything else to take care of our problems. We're just going to look to God because we know, because we can trust. And why can we trust? Because we know He never sleeps. We know He watches us and we know He keeps us. So it's time to put your trust, to put your trust in Jesus, to put your trust in Him. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to pray. Wherever you're at right now, just ask Jesus to speak to you. Just say that simple phrase, say, Jesus, speak to me what you want me to hear right now. What is He telling you? What is He calling you beyond today? What is He calling you through? Because I guarantee you He's calling you. Jesus is always calling out. He's calling out to us, saying, trust me, trust me. He's extending His hand to you, saying, trust me, take my hand. This is a fallen, sinful world. Jesus Himself came, God came, He became man, He was killed. It's a fallen, sinful world. But glory be to God, the grave couldn't hold Him down. The cross couldn't kill Him. He was God. He was the maker of all things, so He overcame it all. He rose from the grave 3 days later and said, I am God. I am God. And because I conquer all things, because I created all things, because I am Jesus, and in me all things are held together, I can hold you together. Why don't you trust me? In me, all things were created. All things were created by me and for me is what Jesus is telling you right now. Everything was created by me and for me, including you. You were created for me. Why don't you trust me? If all this galaxy